Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 60, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. To thee I lift my soul, in thee my trust repose. My God, oh, put me not to shame before triumphant foes. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter number 60. Scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in Romans chapter 8, the first 27 verses, 1 through 27 of Romans chapter 8. But first we will make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Romans chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be, and that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, and we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So far the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God of heaven and of earth, thou who makest intercession For the saints of God, those who do not know what to pray for as they ought, wilt thou do so also for us in this afternoon hour, for all that we can ask or think that needs to be washed and cleansed by thee, that it may be offered even as an incense before the Father. And Lord, we try again to draw nigh, and our needs, they remain the same. And as we can read it in thy holy word, Son himself did go away again and prayed the same words. Lord, then we ask of thee for thy presence again in this afternoon hour, and that thou may be in our midst as one that serveth, to go from pew to pew and from heart to heart amongst the dead, and to speak and to say unto them, live, that the flesh may come over the bones, that the breath of thy Holy Spirit may be breathed into them, and that they may stand upon their feet. And Lord, that the cry may go forth out of the heart in the wretchedness and misery of our lost state and condition, made known in that new birth unto the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth, that on high, where thou dwellest, thou may behold the things that are in the heavens and in the earth, and then in a special way those that are in the prison house and that do groan, and that have no light, that have no wisdom, that have no strength, that have no righteousness, and from themselves there is but one way, and that is that they have to go lost. And Lord, it is unto such that thou dost reveal thyself according to thy holy word. And we ask that thou may so do also in this afternoon hour, that thou may remember thy church in all the way that thou dost lead them, that all that comes against thy work may be bound by thee, and that they may receive a little taste of the blessed freedom of free and sovereign grace, which is to be found in thy only begotten Son. For we can read it in thy holy word that where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. But for that people now to see it, when they are bound in the ways of sin, Lord, then it is necessary that thou would reveal thyself. Oh, we ask of thee then that thou may so speak that thy voice may be heard, that thy beauty may be seen, that thy grace may be experienced, that thy name may be honored and glorified in the midst of us as a congregation in this afternoon hour, that thy people may be led from step to step, that new ones may be born in Zion, that thy house may be full, and that there would be none that to enter without a wedding garment on that great day of days, only to be cast forth, where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Lord, remember us then for the sake of thy only begotten Son, in whom thou art so well pleased, and to whom thou hast promised the seed that should serve him. Oh, that thou may remember the word that thou hast spoken unto him, even this day when thy word does go forth amongst us and our flock. Lord, that thou may remember thy own covenant, that thou may remember the word of thy own oath, that all that he has accomplished here upon the world and may not be without fruit, and that thy side of that covenant may yet also be fulfilled in the sending forth of thy Holy Spirit, To give unto him that reward that thou hast promised him. And so that thy kingdom may come also amongst us and our children. And may it be in this whole world, where thy word does go forth, strengthen thy servants, increase their number, increase their knowledge also, and the own experience of their lives, That they may be enabled to bring it forth as thou dost mean it by thy Holy Spirit, and that thou may look upon all that labor on the mission fields, be with all that labor for the sake of those that are disadvantaged, those that are weak in the mind, those that are weak in the body, those that do mourn, Those that are sick and afflicted in hospitals and institutions of mercy. Remember doctors and nurses, and be with all those that go to the aid where there are accidents and fires. Lord, that thou may watch over and protect them in the labors of their hands, and be with all those that are in the midst of warfare also in this world,
Ever thy word also may not be read and studied and brought. Give courage to obey God rather than men. And could it please thee to bless also thy word in such places. Be with all that rule and reign over us, as thou commandest us to lay them before thee. Oh, that thou may hear from heaven thy dwelling place. In the declining times wherein is our lot to live with our children. Oh, Lord, turn us again, and we shall be turned. And wilt thou look upon us in the midst of all our sin, to have mercy and to have dealings with us, and that it may not be thy wrath one day to be poured out, because we would not turn again to thee. Lord, remember us then as a nation, and wilt thou remember all those that have special needs not known unto us. Lord, remember also all the children, the youth, that have left the church, that have no more desire to come under thy truth, being brought up under the word, and thou knowest where they are, as Satan is as a roaring lion, Satan is as an angel of light, oh, seeking whom he may devour. Oh, could it please thee to remember them also, and cause them to think again of the days of their youth, and to bring them with weeping and with supplications, even as the prodigal of old, that they may be received again by thee. Lord, take reasons out of thyself. Wilt thou be with all those that suffer from addictions? Wilt thou give strength against the wiles of the devil? Be with all that are in the prisons, all those that are guilty, all those that are innocent. And wilt thou supply for those also that are required to keep the law of the land. Remember us in this afternoon hour. Be on our right, be on our left hand. Oh, give the unction of thy Holy Spirit, of whom that we are called to speak even in this hour. Oh, that he himself may be feelingly and believingly in the midst of us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 57, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. The earth and the fullness with which it is stored, the world and its dwellers belong to the Lord. For he on the seas its foundation has laid, and firm on the waters its pillars has stayed, and firm on the waters its pillars has stayed. Our last collection today is for the treasured meditations, 57. All stanzas.
Congregation, we read in the book of Ecclesiastes that God's servant Solomon says, I saw the wicked buried, who had come and gone from the place of the holy. Come and gone from the place of the holy. Do we do that too? Do we do that faithfully? Young people, that is the means of grace. And then we have a saying, if you will get wet, then you must stand in the rain. And thus you must use the means to get wet. And so that is also with a true conversion. And then the means they are given unto us, we heard a little bit in this morning hour, what is the desire and what is now living in the heart of that new life. That is, that they may come and go, that they may come and go, and come and go from the place of the holy. But what does Solomon say? He says, I saw the wicked buried who had come and gone from the place of the holy. Thus, they came and they went, and they came and they went, and they came and they went, but they remained wicked. And so I saw the wicked buried. Never a change. Such persons come to an awful end. Why? Because knowledge is a blessing. But knowledge, we read in God's word, is a blessing that increases our accountability before God. What did the Lord Jesus say? Woe unto thee, Chorazin. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida. What does Peter write? For it had been better for them that they had not known the way of righteousness, and then that after they had known it, that they would turn away from that holy commandment that was delivered unto them. Knowledge, a great blessing, but knowledge, a blessing that increases our accountability. How is it now possible when we all will hear of that one name that is given under heaven among men, when we will all hear of that only way that it is possible for a man to be saved, that some will be saved and that others will not. That has not to do with the meriting of salvation, which is sufficient for all men. But it has to do with the application of salvation, because that meriting, that is not efficient for all men, and whose work is the application, that is the work of the third person of the Holy Trinity, that is the work not in a special way of the Father or of the Son, but it is the special work of the Holy Spirit. Oh, what an interest then. Ought we not to have in the work of the Holy Spirit. Because without this, though we hear all our life of that one name given under heaven among men, without this, we all perish. And now that work of the Holy Spirit is a work that is in a large way denied in our so-called Christian age. And why? It is because of the presence of that awful Arminian error. That is, an error that is doing lip service, to the work and the necessity of the Holy Spirit. It is not said right out, no, that Spirit of the Lord is not necessary. No, then it is maintained that it is only by the Spirit of the Lord, but it is made common. It is made common unto all men. But the Bible, that speaks very different. That it is not common, but that it is a special work, a peculiar work, a personal work of the Holy Spirit of the Lord. And we hope, young people, that you will remember this. And that you will abide by this your whole life long, to stand fast by the truth of God's holy word. It sounds so good when they will say unto you, we do not need another revelation. We do not need any more to be revealed to us. It is all right here, they say, right here in the word of God. Oh, that sounds so good. And so many young people, they are deceived by this. You say, is that not true? Certainly that is true. Oh, there is nothing that is necessary for the salvation of a soul that is not already revealed in that holy word of God. But now there is another matter. There is another matter to which they do not agree. And that is this, that we need more. We need more than that it is revealed to us in the Word of God. We need that it also be revealed to us in a personal way by the application of the Holy Spirit of the Lord. This they deny. But our fathers do not. And we wish, with the help of the Lord, to consider this in this hour, out of Lord's Day 20, question 53. Lord's Day 20, question 53. What dost thou believe concerning the Holy Ghost? Answer. First, that he is true and co-eternal God with the Father and the Son. Secondly, that he has also given me to make me, by a true faith, partaker of Christ and all his benefits, that he may comfort me and abide with me forever. So far, our Lord's Day, God, the Holy Ghost. First, who he is. Second, what he works. God, the Holy Ghost, and two simple thoughts. First, who he is, and second, what he works. I believe in the Holy Ghost. That is the next article of our confession. Two Sundays, Lord's Days, are given by our fathers to the consideration of the first person of the Holy Trinity, the Father. 9 Lord's Days, they are given to the consideration of the Son, one Lord's Day that is given to the consideration of the Holy Ghost. And that is now what is our portion for this afternoon. There are many errors. Many errors through the ages and continuing errors concerning the Holy Ghost. And those errors, they are often very subtle. The Lord Jesus, he says that ye err because ye know not the Scriptures. And therefore, congregation, how lax are we also that we might know what is written in those holy Scriptures. That is, young people, also for the defense of that truth, when your grandparents and when your parents will fall away, and when you will now have to stand for the sake of your children and grandchildren, the Lord willing, oh, then it is so necessary that you will know those holy Scriptures, and that you will be able also to defend that truth against everything that is coming against it. The errors concerning the Holy Ghost are very serious. They are very grave. Why? Because that is a matter of life and death. It is a matter concerning the application. And we have heard that without the application, we go lost with all of that precious objective truth. What are some of those errors? First of all, there is an error concerning who he is. An error concerning the personhood of the Holy Ghost. Because there are those that consider him not to be a person. No, they say that the Holy Ghost, he is a power. The Holy Ghost, he is an affection. He is a power of God. He is an affection of God. And He is just a gift. And of course, this is true. But they do not consider him to be a person. And that is a dishonor in the first place. That is a dishonor to the Lord himself. When we do not worship God as he is, as he reveals himself in his holy word, then we dishonor him. How would that be, children, if everyone did not consider you to be a person? If they considered you to be just a thing? If they considered you not to be a person, but just considered you to be an object? A quality. You are just a characteristic. You would say that is offensive because then you do not know me as I truly am. How is this for man to attempt to worship God even as he is not? Even when he has revealed himself in his word as he truly is, that he is a triune God. Baptism, that is in his name. And then we read that John says there are three that bear record in heaven, that is the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. Often, we read of each of these three that they are referred to in God's word with pronouns. Thus, pronouns referring to their personhood. That also the Holy Spirit is referred to as he. This, the denial of the personhood of the Holy Spirit, that is a dishonor to the Lord. That is also something else that is an attack on the comfort of the true church of God. Saying that the Spirit of the Lord, he is a mere attribute, that he has no mind, that he has no will, that he has no understanding. He is just an attribute. Thus, he that is charged with, in a special way, the care of his church here below in the time, he cannot know, because he is not a person. He cannot care, because he is only an attribute. But the Lord has revealed the character of that Holy Spirit so different in his word, that he is more than a power, that he is more than a gift, that he is more than the mere affection of God, but that he is a true, that he is a real person. Paul says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. Thus, he says that Spirit is bearing witness. Well, this is not something that is able to be done by a mere characteristic. But that Spirit of the Lord, he has himself an understanding. We read, the Spirit is searching. He is searching the deep things of God. And we read that the Spirit does things, that the Spirit works, which only persons can do. That it is the Spirit of the Lord that is sending his servants. We read that the Spirit of the Lord leads, the Spirit of the Lord comforts, the Spirit of the Lord assures, the Spirit of the Lord intercedes. Thus, in the first place, that error concerning who he is, that is his personhood, that he is a person. Secondly, there are those that deny that the Spirit of the Lord is God, that he is divine. They rob him of that Godhead. So our fathers say, he is true and co-eternal God with the Father and the Son. That is according to the Holy Scriptures. We read Peter, he says to Ananias concerning his lie to the Holy Ghost. He says, thou hast not lied unto men, but thou hast lied unto God. Further, we read that the Holy Ghost, he has attributes. And those attributes are those that do not belong merely to those who are human, but they are attributes which belong only to God himself. Because he is called the Eternal Spirit. David says, whither shall I go from thy Spirit? Can go, children, everywhere from us, because we are only in one place. But what does he say concerning the Spirit of the Lord? He says he cannot go anywhere, and that Spirit of the Lord is there. Read Psalm 139. Of that omnipresent God. Then we read also of the Spirit's omniscience, knowing of everything, belonging only unto God. We read of his sovereignty. He is called also the Holy Spirit. We see that divinity also of the Spirit in his works. What did he do? He did what you and I cannot do, that is, was involved in the creation of this whole world, the Spirit of the Lord moving upon the face of the waters. And then, as we have spoken of, that the Spirit of the Lord, He is charged with that very special work, not only of the creation of the world, but especially with the application of the redemption of God's church. We read also of honors that are given and may be given not to men, but may only be given unto God. Thus man, he is commanded to pray to the Spirit, but we may not pray unto man. He is commanded to obey Him. He is baptized in His name, the benediction pronounced also in the name of the Holy Spirit. We read that the Spirit of the Lord was not created. Thus, that means that He was ever. That means He is co-eternal with the Father and the Son. That means that He had no beginning, but that is a characteristic that belongs only unto God. Thus, we have in the first place the personhood of the Holy Spirit. We have in the second place the divinity of the Holy Spirit. We have also in the third place the procession of the Holy Spirit. That is actually the basis of that name, Spirit. We have the name Father and the name Son. Why are they called so? Because of the relation that is between them. That is, that the Son, he is generated. Thus, we have the relation between the Father and the Son. They are the personal properties. The Spirit is called Spirit because that He is proceeding. He is proceeding from the Father and the Son. Long ago, there was actually a separation between the Eastern and the Western churches, the Greek and the Latin churches, over the controversy of the procession of the Holy Spirit. Does the Holy Spirit proceed only from the Father, or does the Holy Spirit also proceed from the Son? And the Eastern churches, they would only say that the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father, but not from the Son, but only through the Son. But now in the Bible we read that the Holy Spirit, He is called the Spirit of the Son. And He is called the Spirit of Christ. Thus, that He is proceeding not only from the Father, but He is proceeding also from the Son. And we can read how both the Father and the Son are sending that Holy Spirit out into the world. What a wonder, because that is for the application. That brings us to our second thought, what He works. First, that He is the true and co-eternal God with the Father and the Son. Secondly, that He is also given me to make me by a true faith partaker of Christ and all His benefits, that He may comfort me and abide with me forever. That He is also given me. Is He also given to you? You say, what does that mean? Well, then we must make a distinction, because it means different things. Sometimes it means one thing, for that Holy Spirit to be given, and sometimes we are speaking actually about something else. Thus, we must know the meaning within its context. We read in Hebrews 6, "For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they should fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing that they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame." Thus, how is that possible? That they should fall away if at one time we were made partakers of the Holy Ghost. Oh, do we not hear it every Sabbath day again? Who never forsaketh the works of his own hands? How is it possible then, when we have tasted of the Holy Ghost, to fall away? Is it, as Arminius says, young people, and that grace can be lost, that people are able to sin themselves outside of that grace? No, that is not possible. That is not possible. The Lord himself has brought them in. The Lord himself will keep them in. But in this place, the Apostle Paul is not speaking about saving grace. Partakers, he says, of the Holy Ghost. But he does not speak here about his person, but he speaks here about the gifts which the Holy Ghost is giving. And there are many of them, and we can read of them in God's Word. There are natural gifts that the Holy Spirit is bestowing, and then in a special way upon his own church. We know that it was necessary in a special way for that early church, in order that that church would be established, that there were persons that received extraordinary gifts. Thus, the apostles were given the gift of the Holy Ghost, that they may perform miracles. That even the sick, they were laid in the streets so that the shadow of Peter passing by may be the means to their own cure. A handkerchief off of the body of the apostles unto the sick, a means of their cure. Prophesying, a gift of the Holy Ghost given to that first early church. They are extraordinary gifts. Then there are, in our days, the ordinary gifts. When the Lord is giving unto those that are called to lead, the gifts that are necessary to expound, the gifts that are necessary to comfort, the gifts that are necessary to read, to pray, those gifts that are necessary to lead, the gifts that are necessary for our young people, the gifts that are necessary to comfort those that are mourning, and on, they are the ordinary gifts, that when the Lord is sending forth his servants, though they have no gifts, that the Lord, he is able to give those gifts that are necessary. and he is giving them. Then we have also the spiritual gifts, gifts of the Holy Spirit, and we say spiritual, and yet we speak not yet about that which is saving, because we read in God's Word to be enlightened. Thus, it is possible and that the Spirit of the Lord, he is enlightening the mind of persons who are not saved. Thus, they are given light into the Holy Scriptures, the ability even to expound those Scriptures, the ability even to teach other persons. Enlightenment. Then we have read here, tasted of that heavenly gift. Thus, there is even more. That is, that the Lord is touching actually the heart in a general sense, that the Lord is touching the emotions of a person. That there is a certain sorrow, that there is a certain joy. The Lord Jesus speaks of that seed that was sown and that has fallen into that stony ground, that it is coming up quickly, and that he anon, we read, with joy receiveth it. That is, that temporary faith that is now coming so close in the appearance to that true saving faith, and yet it is so far away. It misses what? It misses a new birth. And now what does the apostle say? If these fall away. No. Then he does not say if they will fall into sin, even as David fell, or as Peter fell, as Samson fell, as Solomon fell, and as all God's children fall into sin. If these fall away, no, not fall into sin, but fall away and open apostasy. Or if they will now leave that truth, if they will now begin to mock, if they will now begin to speak openly against that which in their own conscience they know, being enlightened by the Holy Spirit, and even at one time their affections, they have been touched by that Spirit of the Lord. Or if these should fall away, such are hardened, or such are not concerned with the sin against the Holy Ghost. They do not fear it. They do not pray against it. But such are irretrievable. Or you cannot, he says, you cannot renew them unto repentance. No, they go their own way, and never to return. But now the devil is so often mocking with those that are sincere to cause a fear, to cause a distress, and to cause a hopelessness. But it is one thing to receive the gifts of the Holy Ghost, and it is another thing to receive the person of the Holy Ghost. But let us sing first. 428. The second stanza. O, let thy Spirit be my constant aid, that all my ways may ever be directed to keep thy statutes, so to be obeyed. 428. The second stanza. Secondly, that he is also given me to make me by a true faith partaker of Christ and all his benefits, that he may comfort me and abide with me forever. Thus our fathers, they speak here about the saving work of the Holy Spirit. And they speak then about several things. And he is also given me. Thus, we read immediately of the rejection of that Arminian error, and that he is given to all men by common grace. But our fathers, they speak here about a special grace, a granting of the Holy Spirit in a special way, that he may become also my instructor. That is now according to that holy word of God, the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. What did he say? Ye must be born again. But how do we know that? How may I distinguish that Spirit's work from my own work? That is not an easy question. Our fathers, they show here what the Holy Ghost does, so that we can know of the presence of the Holy Ghost by the fruits, the working of the Holy Ghost in our life. And in the first place, they say, he is also given me. And so we read of the wonder that is in it, that he is also given even to such a one as I am. And that is now one of the evident fruits of the working of the Holy Spirit, that is to lay a man low in his unworthiness. Paul, he says, I am the least, I am less than the least of all saints. He is also given me. And to do what? To make me. He, to make me. So it is expressed. Why? Because so it is experienced. So they may know that in their own life, they do express that one-sided sovereign work of the Holy Spirit. David says, he sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. The common song of that true church of God. The work of the Holy Spirit to magnify and to glorify the work of a triune God. No, that does not do away with the responsibility of man. Not at all. It remains. But how is our responsibility in that true work? How is the responsibility of man experienced? It is our guilt. It is our guilt. And it is not our salvation. Oh, that people, they will ever and forever point to the grace of God, to the grace of God, to the power of God, not to their own faith. No, they need a Savior. Why? Because they cannot save themselves. Oh, to make me by a true faith. Why do they say that? Young people, a true faith. Why do they not just say, by faith? Well, because they know that there is also a false faith. And thus they show now what that true faith does. And what does that do? They say, to make me, by a true faith, partaker of Christ. There is no salvation outside of that one name given under heaven among men. But there is also no salvation outside of being made, as our fathers say here, being made a partaker of Him. Thus, our fathers do speak about the necessity of a personal partaking by the Spirit of the Lord of the blessed mediator. Who does it? Not myself. Oh, not by my own power. No, that is their experience. He makes me a partaker of Christ. Thus we have the work of the Holy Spirit. What is the work of the Holy Spirit? That is to unite. That is to unite the people with Christ. That is not the purpose of the Holy Spirit to speak about Himself, to glorify Himself. But the purpose of the Spirit is to glorify Christ in the heart of His people. What did the Lord Jesus say? He said, when the Spirit of truth is come, He shall guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that He shall speak. And He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me. For He shall receive of Mine, and shall show it unto you. Partaker of Christ. That is, to be brought into a personal union with Him. That is to be made a member of His body. That is to be engrafted as a branch into this vine. A partaker of Christ. How is it that Holy Spirit is making a man a partaker of Christ? Well, He is, in short, cutting him off from Adam, and He is engrafting him into the Lord Jesus Christ. When does that happen, children? When does that happen? That happens in regeneration. That happens in reality, in that new birth. Oh, even if we were just a little child, oh, then He is cutting us off from that old stock, and He is implanting us into that new stock. That is in an objective way. But now it also needs to take place in a subjective way. It also needs to take place in the experience of our own soul, that we may be united unto Christ by a true faith. And what does He now do? Oh, He strips from Adam and He engrafts into Christ. He makes first Christ necessary. Oh, did He ever become necessary unto you? And if He will become necessary, what has to take place for that? Well, that means there is
very, very much that has to be taken away from us. Away from us. Because we are not by nature too poor for him, but we are too rich for him. Thus, he needs to begin to strip us, to take away our wisdom, to take away our strength, to take away our righteousness, and everything that is from myself, that he may make me fit. All he makes him necessary. Then he makes him also precious. Precious to that people. To their sin-sick soul. How does he do that? All out of his word. Opening up his word. Thus he makes a man first sick. And then he says to him, I am the physician. Oh, is that not easy? It is so simple. It is so easy. Then he becomes to that people suitable, fit. Fit for whom? Then not for my neighbor. Oh, no, then he becomes fit. He becomes suitable. Also for me. Oh, do you see that work of the Spirit of the Lord to unite together the soul of a man with the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, he shows him his lost state, his lost condition. And then he says, I am the way. He shows him his guilt. And then he says, we have an advocate with the Father. He makes him hungry. And he says, I am the bread of life. He makes him thirsty. And he says, I am the fountain of living waters. He sets him on the outside. And he says, I am the door. Oh, he shows him that he is dead. And then he says, I am the resurrection and the life. Oh, congregation, who do you think that people begin to seek after? If the Lord will show to you in your sickness the great physician, or who will you then begin to seek? Or then you will begin to seek that Son of God. Or then you will rise up. You will rise up. And you will go out into the streets and you will begin to seek him whom your soul loveth. Oh, then you are united in the love of your heart, even unto that second person of that divine Trinity. By whom? By the power of the Holy Spirit of the Lord. But yet it is now another matter. When I may not only see him, but when he is also given unto me, when he is given unto me, oh, then that soul may also embrace him. Then she may say, he is mine, and I am his. Oh, then they may experience in their soul what our fathers say here, a partaker. Of Christ. And then not only of Christ, but they say here of Christ and all his benefits. Oh, the Lord Jesus, as the mediator, is not the end. He is not the end. Why not? Because he was not the beginning. He was not the beginning. His office as mediator was not yet in the beginning. And we did not leave
the mediator in paradise, but we left God. And that office of the mediator that was given, for what reason? That was given to bring that people back unto God. The greatest longing of that church in that first day of that new birth in regeneration, as we may consider in this morning hour, oh, to long for God again. And then the Spirit of the Lord is leading that people step by step, leading them first away from themselves. Broken covenant unto that blessed mediator. Covenant of grace. And back unto God again. Thus our fathers say, partakers of Christ and all his benefits. And what is now the greatest benefit? What would be the greatest blessing that the Lord could give to us? What do you think, children? The greatest blessing. Oh, does that ever live in your heart? Oh, could I now be reconciled? Could I now be reconciled unto my Maker, my Creator? This is now the work of the Spirit of the Lord, to reconcile the people unto their God whom they have left in paradise. In Christ, justified by the Spirit of the Lord, that they may receive a right unto that eternal salvation, and in Christ sanctified, that they may be made fit to dwell again with him, and in Christ glorified, all that is actually brought again into his presence by that Holy Spirit of the Lord, partakers of Christ and all his benefits, that he may comfort me and abide with me forever. Congregation, have you ever been made a partaker of Christ by the Spirit of the Lord? Did he ever awaken you? Or did he ever lead you so? From step to step. His work we can distinguish from our work. How? Remember this, young people. Take it home with you and never forget it. Our work brings us up. The Spirit's work that brings us down. Our work glorifies ourselves. The work of the Holy Spirit that glorifies Christ, who came to help those who cannot help themselves, to seek and to save that which is lost. Or will you not now seek him? And that he may become your song to all eternity. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, convert us unto thee, forgiving our many, many sins, and working with thy Spirit with power to bring us again. Never will we turn. Never will we come back. Oh, not a true sigh, not a true cry, with all our religion can come out of our wretched hearts. But by the power of thy Spirit, oh, remember us then with all our loved ones. Bring us now safely to our places. Forgive all that was sinful and amiss this day. Bless thy word. Help us again, each one, in our place in the world in this week to come. Oh, cause our hearts to yearn, not for the things that are carnal and passing away, but to yearn after him who is eternal, and from everlasting to everlasting the same. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 373, 2, 3, and 10. O praise ye the Lord for his goodness. 'Tis pleasant his praises to sing. His people, his chosen and precious, your praises with gratitude bring. 2, 3, and 10 of 273. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.